All right, everybody, welcome to Ringside Report MMA. Tonight on the show, Anderson Silva versus Tito Ortiz. Ciryl Gane, who is the new champ's biggest threat in the UFC? And Fred's got a beef with the UFC schedule. All that and more. Let's go. Fred's got a beef. Fred's got a beef with the UFC schedule. He was telling me about it earlier, and we'll hear Fred. Fred will sound off as only Fred can with rage and venom and fury.
I feel betrayed here because, like, I didn't expect that I was going to get a monologue or anything. Like, I'm not ready for none of this, but I'll just say, like, man, the next, 6 weeks are awful, man. Come on, UFC.
Is that it? Why?
Yeah.
What's so bad?
Much.
What's going on? Next week we have Gastelum versus Cannonier. This weekend we have nothing for the UFC. PFL and Bellator both have shows tomorrow night that are pretty damn good. Rory McDonald versus Ray Cooper III. We'll give you our picks for that. And Olivier Aubin-Mercier, friend of the show. Good God. Thank you, Jason. Olivier Aubin-Mercier. Is going to be fighting tomorrow for PFL as well. And one of my favorites, Gegard Mousasi, the greatest of all time, will be fighting in the main event of Bellator Suit 264 against John Salter, also tomorrow night. Gegard time in Bellator. Big shout out to Jason Pete, who is a member who renewed his membership. Angelo Contagonis in the house as well, member of the team. Seeing Brooklyn Lizard, big MMA fan, here watching the show, supporter of the Ringside Report Network. Shout out to everybody tuning in tonight. We got fights tomorrow. Nothing in the UFC on Saturday. Next week, it's Gastelum versus Cannonier. I won't be watching it probably because SummerSlam is the same night, so, you know.
Why is it on a Saturday?
I don't know. I forget. There was a reason, but I don't even... It was never clear why they moved it on a Saturday. I think something else is happening on a Sunday in the stadium. Maybe they can't use it. I don't know. I have no idea.
Ah!
What's this new sound effect?
I don't know.
I love it, man.
It's people that are renewing their memberships, people that are continued members of the team. So thank you, Douglas Hepburn, I saw. Angelo says, what's up, AJ? AJ, how you doing? Before I let Fred sound off here, on the rage, I don't understand what the beef is. We got Edson Barboza versus Giga Chikadze on the 28th, which is a pretty good fight right there. And then you got Darren Till versus Derek Brunson. And that fight card is excellent on the 4th of September. So those are just the next 3-4 weeks in the UFC. But we'll see. AJ, how you feeling, man? You all right? We haven't talked to AJ yet.
Hey, dude, what's up? Usually, I'm rocking. But, since I've been on vacation the last 2 weeks, I'm very zen. Did you notice I started last week with my Tibetan bowls, and I came back from up north today just to be on the show because Wi-Fi is not that great up there. And, dude, I'm zen, man. I'm chilling. I'm chilling like a villain.
You could have taken the night off, AJ. You came in just to do the show.
No.
Look at you.
Listen, man. Look, man. You know what it is? Ringside Report, we never sleep. Plus, we took a vacation, not too long ago. We can't keep doing that shit, dude. I mean, we don't have the money yet of, Joe Rogan, but once we do, then I'll take a couple of weeks more, you know? Till then, showtime.
All right. Freddie, what's the problem
By the way, I agree with Freddie.
It ain't that bad, man.
That's coming up.
Oh, the next card, you mean?
Not very good. Let's be honest, Jared Cannonier, Gastelum. I mean, yeah, it's two guys that we know, they're decent fighters. I know you're a big Gastelum fan. I appreciate the man. I mean, I'm not part of his fan club or anything.
I didn't know he
had
a
great card, man.
Can I join?
Tell me what other name me a second fight on that fight card that interests you.
Alexander Pantoja versus Brandon Royval. Those are the two top maybe 10 or 15 flyweights in the world. That's a good fight.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, okay, but it's not great, man.
But no, the rest of the... Courtney Casey versus Leanna Jojua. Leanna...
Who?
Leanna Jojua against Courtney Casey. I'm kind of interested in that. But yeah, you're right. That fight card isn't that great. Clay Guida's fighting against Mark Madsen, so that's something.
Well, that'll be good.
But yeah, sure. It's not the best fight card, without a doubt. But you never know what's going to be a great fight. I've been watching The Ultimate Fighter and been thoroughly entertained by some tremendous fights. The Brian Battle fight in the semifinal was tremendous. One of the bantamweight fights there in the semifinal, tremendous. I know you guys have not been watching The Ultimate Fighter. I was like 3 weeks behind on The Ultimate Fighter, and I binge-watched like 2 episodes today. My God, there was some great fights. And that Brian Battle, man, I'm like hyped for The Ultimate Fighter finale, and I will be able to give you some very good analysis when we get to the finals of The Ultimate Fighter, which is at some point. I don't know.
When
I'm looking forward to September. Yeah, say it again.
Do you actually, like, watch all the stupidness that happens, or you just watch the fights?
I watched the whole thing, the whole episode.
Dear Lord.
Freddie, let me remind you something. Dave and Johnny used to watch 90 Day Fiancé nonstop, and they used to comment on their show. So believe me, this is, like, a step up, man. Believe me.
You guys don't want to know what else I've been watching. I started watching The Hills New Beginnings. You know The Hills? You guys know about The Hills? The Hills was like a show in the early 2000s, I think, with like people in Los Angeles. And now they're like back and they're in their 30s and a lot of them have alcohol problems. And it's pretty good. I'm watching The Hills New Beginnings. If anybody knows about that, you'd be definitely a little surprised that I'm watching that. But yeah.
What is it, like Beverly Hills 90120 or something like that?
It's, you know, Brody Jenner. You know Brody Jenner? You know Spencer Pratt?
Jenner.
You know who that is? Spencer and Heidi? Nothing? You guys are a different generation than me, right?
No.
Well, I mean, you say people? Jenner, I could like imagine in what family he comes from, but
yes, Caitlyn Jenner is Brody's dad.
Say what?
Yeah. You got that. What I said was correct. And what's also interesting is in season one, Brody is married to a woman named Caitlin. And his father is also named Caitlin.
Yeah. You got to be on acid to watch the show. Listen, you know what I got something better for you. You know what I got this week? I got the DVD first season to The Sopranos. Sopranos first season.
I have this thing called Crave TV. It's got all the Sopranos episodes. I don't need a DVD.
Damn it.
I don't even have a DVD player.
I need it, man.
I've seen Sopranos like a million times over and over again. I love it.
I never saw season one, two, or three. I saw 4, 5, and 6. I know it sounds weird, but I never saw season 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, because AJ has no internet skills. I'm not that surprised.
No.
Plus,
no,
AJ doesn't understand how to subscribe to stuff, you know? Like, I'm not surprised. AJ's from the old days. If he didn't tape it on VHS, I was going to say VSR. I'm not sure why. But VHS, like, if he doesn't
beta.
Tape it on VHS, man, he won't watch it.
I still have it.
Beta.
I have, like, loads
of
boxes
sure
of VHS.
Tape. I'm not sure how beta works.
It's the same
but
thing,
listen,
I think.
No. Listen, I'm going to tell you why I didn't watch The Sopranos in the beginning. It's because when The Sopranos came out and they were like, they're making fun of Italians and all this slapstick comedy on mob and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, I'm not going to watch that shit. Forget it.
You felt offended?
I'm never going to watch that shit because it doesn't represent Italians. I'm like, forget about it.
So you're anti-cancel culture. You're canceling The Sopranos on that?
He was.
I was. Whoa, easy, Freddie. So this is a long time ago, and I swear, I'm like, people used to ask me, Anthony, I can't believe I'm watching The Sopranos. I'm like, nobody fucking tells me that The Sopranos is like taking Italians and really representing them well. I don't want to know anything about it. So I refused watching The Sopranos. And then one day, I was stuck at home, I was sick, and like there was nothing on except for The Sopranos. And the show came on, it was like season 4 or something like that. And I was like, by the time it was over, I was like a super fan of The Sopranos. Like I went crazy, man.
Yeah.
I'm like,
clearly not
okay,
a super fan because you're only watching season 1 in 2021. It's 2021.
Well, listen, man,
Gandolfini's been dead for years. AJ super fan watching
peace.
Sopranos season 1 now. He's never
Four
seen
games.
It before. You're not a super fan, AJ.
Well, listen, I'm going to watch it all again now. This is my thing.
So what,
I'm watching
pussy
season
just
1
left,
then I got to find
basically.
The... What?
Like, how many episodes? What did you just see, AJ?
I just saw it yesterday. I got it yesterday. So I saw season one, episode one, when he went to the shrink and he's talking about the ducks and how the ducks like made him have an anxiety attack. I can totally understand
Soprano
the Tony there.
Fan,
totally understand.
Yeah, Christopher. I like that Tony in one of the opening scenes there, Christopher's chasing that guy to get the money. And Tony is driving in the car. He's driving through people, and no one ever calls the cops. No one does anything. Tony is driving through people, hits the guy with the car. They beat the guy up. There's tons of witnesses everywhere. Nothing happens to Tony and Christopher. It's just like, yeah, well, that's how they operate. It's fine. Sopranos land is like, what? What? That's a weird scene.
Nobody wants to call the cops. When you see a guy driving like that, do you really want to be the guy that picks up the phone thinking, wait a sec, that guy's going to remember my face? Forget about it. You're just going to let it happen. And Tony, like, punched him in the nuts, remember? Because
a lot of witnesses.
That guy, like, kicked Chris in the nuts.
Yeah, but
and
cops
then
are always minutes away when it's about seconds, so.
Dave, you have a great memory, man. You remember episode one of season one. That's
somebody
amazing,
called.
Man.
I've
seen it a million times.
You know nobody called?
Nobody's going to call, man. And the best is when he kills the Polish guy. Remember that? He's like, nice and everything, and he's like, just whacks him. Chris,
ever had our sausages? I thought they only made Italian and Jimmy Dean.
Yeah, that's it, man.
So what, AJ, man, you watch at least the other seasons of The Sopranos, or are you like
a meal?
No, I saw 4, 5, and 6. I saw The Sopranos, I became the opposite. I'm like, you know what? This show is the best show ever. But I've never got a chance to see 1, 2, and 3. I've been trying to find it. I've been trying to look for the box set DVDs for this. I can't find them. And yesterday, I found it up north. Season one, all episodes. It cost me $5. It was the best investment I've ever done. And like tonight, after the show is over, I'm actually going to do two things. One, I'm going to watch Dave. Not this is no joke. I'm going to watch the interview you did with what's his name, Bobby Hart?
Bruce Hart.
Is that his name?
Bruce Hart.
Bruce Hart. Close enough. So Bruce Hart. I'm going to watch that interview you did with Bruce Hart, and then I'm going to watch The Sopranos episode two tonight. And if I don't fall asleep, like Freddie, I'm going to go to like episode three. I'm going to try to do it. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to that.
Freddie,
big night
don't
for
tell
AJ
him.
And The Sopranos.
Don't tell AJ about Big Pussy. It'll break his heart. Don't tell him.
What?
You know what happens to Big Pussy, right, AJ?
No.
You know Big Pussy, Sal Bumpinciero?
Yeah, what about him?
Don't worry about it. You'll find out.
Anyways, yeah, it was pretty
was
good,
that
man.
Was that masseuse ever
good.
Real?
Good.
Yeah. Was she,
was
ever,
she
real?
Ever real?
Did she ever even exist? Fucking great.
Oh, man.
I got to sit down. I got a inner ear. You know, he sits down. Yeah. Oh, shit.
I'm in waste management. That's what I do. I'm in waste management.
I love when Tony goes out to see Silvio on the boat. Silvio's super like, I'm seasick. You think I'm not upset? Like, you think he, like, he starts yelling at Silvio. He's like, come on, we got to do this. God damn it. Oh, it's classic shit. Patrick C. Hamilton dropping a super chat saying, going on vacation for a week or so starting tomorrow. He's going to catch up with us when he returns. Good man, Patrick. Going to catch up on all the episodes of all the shows. We should get back to MMA at some point here, guys. I could talk Sopranos forever. My brother and I, sometimes we do it when he's in here on Monday nights. We just talk Sopranos because my brother and I have each seen every episode like a million times, so we're very well-versed on the Sopranos. Like
Sopranos is overrated.
What?
Right, let's change up there.
What?
What?
Whoa, Fred.
How dare you?
Don't be a disbeliever.
All right,
yeah,
so
dude,
good.
I was one of those guys.
The Wire, definitely better.
I disagree.
I disagree.
Oh, no, The Wire.
It doesn't have
better.
As much.
Breaking Bad, definitely better. The Shield, definitely better. There's so many others like, I don't
Bad.
Think Sopranos is in my top. Definitely not in my top five. Might not be in my top 10.
Do any of those other shows have the comedy of The Sopranos, though? There was seriousness, but the comedy was so good. It's such a funny show, too.
Yeah, man. Trust me, man.
The Wire doesn't have comedy.
Funny guy, man.
The Wire's not funny.
Oh, of course it's funny, man.
I mean,
come
at
on,
times,
man.
But not like Sopranos.
Bubbles Depot!
I mean, that's not that funny. It's not funny like Sopranos
it
funny. When Paulie is he's washing his hands and
come
he's
on,
like
man.
Talking about.
Come on, Herc and what's the black and the white guy cop there? Those guys are. Those guys are hilarious.
Herc and
there.
Carver.
When he bought. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys are hilarious, man.
Not as hilarious as Paulie and Silvio. Paulie and Silvio are much funny. Paulie's so funny. Come on.
Paulie, you know how many characters I know like Paulie in my life? Oof. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're a little bit like Paulie.
I love Paulie. But I'm trying to see season one and let me get through this. And then, man, I'm telling you, if anybody wants to lend AJ like season two or season three, or if you have a way for me to get to
I'll send you a link.
Because I've been trying to find
it. That?
Yeah, Fred will help you out, but we can't talk about that,
Freddy.
We can't talk about
that. Why don't you do it? Super chat. No, man, you made me go crazy for like almost like a year looking for this.
Angelo dropped super chat. He says Sopranos, a classic. Yeah, I'm like,
it is a classic.
I was watching, I started watching it over again recently. It just happens. It's like, oh, I got nothing to watch. I want to, you know, watch something while I roll a joint here. What do I put on my TV? Put on some Sopranos, you know? And that, lately it's been like The Hills, and then I was like, I need to stop watching The Hills for a bit. And I started watching Ultimate Fighter. That shit's good. I like Ultimate Fighter,
guys. I've been watching The
Deuce. I like
it.
The Deuce?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to start watching that too.
Yeah, from HBO.
Did you check out White Lotus?
No, what is that?
Oh, it's good. It's about people on vacation in Hawaii. It's like mysterious and funny.
I like shows that are finished that I could binge watch. Don't tell me like I got to wait a year for a season.
It's a one season. It's like one season all together thing. Six episodes. The sixth episode is coming out on Sunday. So wait till Sunday and then watch all six. You'll like it. It's very good.
What is it called?
White Lotus.
I'll look into it.
Fucking good. I'm really hyped to see how it all turns out in episode six. I'm into it. All right, guys. Cyril Gane. He beats Derek Lewis on Saturday night, and I've had some time to think about the win and how it all went down and who Cyril Gane is as a fighter and who is the real threat to Cyril Gane. I don't think that Francis Ngannou is the most dangerous threat stylistically that you could throw at Cyril Gane. Cyril Gane is an excellent kickboxer. Before he turned pro MMA, he was an undefeated 13-0 Muay Thai kickboxer. He is excellent with his speed, with his combinations, with his judgment of range. He is an excellent stand-up fighter. And in the UFC, he has faced nothing but guys that were willing to stand and kickbox with him. And especially when he's come up to the higher level against the Junior Dos Santos, Jairzinho Rozenstruik, Alexander Volkov, and now Derek Lewis, they are all guys that suit his style very well. And I think that Francis Ngannou suits Cyril's style very well, and Cyril is going to do to Francis Ngannou what he did, very similar to what he did to Jairzinho. Jairzinho is no joke. We can't forget that Jairzinho is a guy who is 12-2 as a professional, and the only two guys to have defeated him are UFC champions right now. I'm talking about Francis and Cyril. Those are the only guys that ever beat Jairzinho. And Francis knocked him out. Cyril out-techniqued him over five rounds a couple fights later. After, like, don't forget, like, Jairzinho, people kind of wrote him off because he's lost two of his last four. But he lost to Francis Ngannou by knockout, which everybody does. Then he knocked out Junior Dos Santos. Then he comes back, has a fight with Cyril Gane, loses by decision. He just recently knocked out Augusto Sakai, right? So Jairzinho is still very tough, very dangerous. And I think Cyril Gane, the win over Jairzinho, was a blueprint to what he can and I think probably will do against Francis Ngannou. Now, I think the real threat to Cyril Gane is Stipe Miocic. He is a guy who will mix things up. He is a guy who will box, who will kickbox, but most importantly, he is a guy who will wrestle. And I think that Cyril Gane could be a great wrestler, could have good takedown defense. I've never seen it. This is a guy who's completely untested as far as the grappling aspects of the game, and he's had a very quick ascension and stylistically very favorable on the way up. Very favorable matchups for Cyril Gane. And we see this more and more. You know, you see how good he is and what he can do. A guy like Derek Lewis had no chance. He had no chance. Ciryl pieced him up. Lewis maybe landed two or three strikes the whole fight. It was insane. And I think that Francis Ngannou is going to have similar problems with Ciryl Gane. He's going to have problems closing the distance. He's going to have problems landing the big power punch. And in the meantime, he's going to get picked apart. His legs are going to get kicked. His body's going to get punched and kicked. He's going to take knees. He's going to take jabs. He's going to take hooks. He's going to get picked apart, and he may not wither under the pressure. He may survive 25 minutes, but he won't out-technique Ciryl Gane. Francis Ngannou is a very similar fight to Derek Lewis. It's a knockout punch that you got to watch out for. And I think Ciryl is ready for that. We've seen Ciryl tested in that way, and he's proven that he's ready for that. I think he's more than ready for Francis. I don't know if he's ready for Stipe, and I don't know if we'll even get the shot to see it. And the UFC is marginalizing Stipe until he's out of his moment. They're fucking with Stipe right now. They're keeping him on ice. They're offering him fights. He was offered the John Jones fight. He accepted John Jones' decline. Stipe Miocic is mad because he didn't get an immediate rematch against Francis. Everybody else gets an immediate rematch against Stipe, but Stipe, for some reason, can't get the immediate rematch against Francis. He's got to do this. He's got to jump through hoops, even though he's the most highly decorated heavyweight of all time, maybe the greatest heavyweight of all time. Stipe's got a point, and the UFC's giving him the runaround. Meanwhile, he's just getting older. He's like almost 40 at this point. So you got to wonder, how long is Stipe going to be in his moment where he's dangerous to Ciryl Gane? But I think he is the most dangerous guy in the UFC for Ciryl right now.
I mean, you might have a point, Dave, but that's not the fight I want to see. I'm going to tell you, like, I want to see both champions fight it out. And look, Stipe's a great fighter, but and I would have no problem him getting the winner of Gane and Ngannou. But the fight to make right now is Gane and Ngannou. I tend to think that Ciryl would win that, but I'm not going to dismiss Ngannou, man. Ngannou proved in his second fight against Stipe that, like, he could box. Like, he's a power puncher and all that, but he still could box, and he's a very smart fighter, strong fighter. So that's the fight I want to see right now. I want to see Ngannou and Gane fight. And as far as the fight against Derek Lewis, man, that accuracy, man, that was so impressive. Like, I think he hit something like 81% of his shots or something like that. Like, that is very high. Like, every time he threw something, he connected. And Ciryl, man, he looks great. He might be the future of the division. But, like, right now, the fight to make is, without a doubt, Ngannou and Ciryl Gane. And that's sad a little bit for Stipe because, yeah, you know, John Jones doesn't want to fight him right now. But, hey, that's what happens.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. The fight to make and the fight that we will see will be Francis versus Ciryl. I mean, they both have belts right now. You got to unify the belts at this point. But I'm just saying, stylistically, Dave, man, Dave. I think Francis is a very good matchup for Ciryl. And I think that Stipe or a guy like Stipe would be a more dangerous test. Go ahead, AJ.
Look, first of all, you know what? You were going on your rant. You were building up onto it. And I'm like, oh, Dave is going to say it. And then you said Stipe. And I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? I thought you were going to say John Jones. Because, man, I was listening to DC. And even DC says it. He's not worried about Ciryl Gane going against Francis Ngannou. He thinks he could beat him. Stylistically, Gane has an edge on Ngannou. There's no doubt about it. If you're going to look at it, a well-rounded fighter, I should say, you're looking at Ciryl Gane. But he says the fight that's going to be the hardest for Ciryl Gane would be a John Jones, because John Jones has fought at light heavyweight. He's fought lighter guys. He's fought quicker guys, stylistically, like, all-rounded guys. And that would be the fight that I can see Ciryl Gane really having to put out everything on that night to win that fight. But if he's going to fight Francis Ngannou, man, if you look at the overall strikes with Derek Lewis on Saturday, 98 of 122 significant strikes were landed. While you look at, like, Derek Lewis, he got only 16 significant strikes out of 37 attempts. That shows you, man, a guy like Ciryl Gane, he's fast, He's athletic. He can outpace you. He can outpunch you. And holy shit, he can outkick you. Because that was the thing. He dominated that fight, and his Muay Thai skills destroyed Lewis's legs. When Lewis couldn't stand anymore, his lead leg was gone. He had no punch behind, no power behind that punch. It was all done. And that's the thing with Cyril Gane. He's a mastermind on that in the octagon. And when he's going to go up against Ngannou, is he an overall rounded fighter? Yeah, he's got an amazing punch. We saw that with Jarzinho, who has probably the biggest hands I've ever seen in MMA.
But it's a matter of landing it on Cyril. And also, Cyril's never been hurt. You've never seen Cyril hurt. You've never seen Cyril really cut. You've never seen Cyril in trouble. He's never been dropped. He doesn't get touched. Derek Lewis couldn't touch him. Jarzinho couldn't touch him. Volkov couldn't touch him. Francis Ngannou's not going to touch him either. And right now I'm seeing the odds. A lot of people have the future fight as a pick'em. Some sports books, DraftKings I'm seeing, has Cyril minus 105 and Ngannou minus 115. So Cyril a slight favorite. I'm seeing another sports book given Cyril Gane minus 102 and Ngannou minus 116. So people are going with us right now. People are going with Cyril Gane to beat Francis Ngannou and be the next UFC heavyweight champion. They are impressed with what we saw from the Derek Lewis fight. And I just don't see Francis hurting Cyril. I don't see him having the ability, even if he lands one or two. I don't think they put him down. I think Cyril eats them. Even if he has to eat a couple, Cyril's going to eat them. He can take punches. He hasn't had to. He's fresh. He's not going to get knocked out. He's never been knocked out before. He's never been dropped. He's never been damaged. Fighters can take damage if they're fresh. He's going to be able to take damage. If Ngannou throws damage and it's a dogfight, I think Cyril can even win that. I think Cyril Gane wins this fight by decision or by knockout. Either way, he beats Ngannou. No matter what, no matter when this fight happens, hopefully at some point soon, but I know Cyril is going to have another child soon, so he's going to wait till that happens, and he's going to take a little time off, which is totally understandable, and then he will fight again, possibly end of this year, maybe early 2022.
Look, Dave, he's not your typical like one-dimensional heavyweight fighter. Most of those fighters in that division, man, have one thing that goes for them. If it's not their grappling skills, it's their knockout power punches. And, like, there's not too many guys where you can see, like I kind of almost agree with you with the Stipe, because Stipe, man, he can go both ways. But does he have what it takes to beat a guy like Cyril Gane right now at 30 years old, who hasn't lost in both MMA and, like, Muay Thai? 13-0, and now he's 10-0. The guy is a phenomenal fighter. And we said that back in 2018. And you know what? People could say what they want across all the boards of, like, the other journalists in MMA. But it was Ringside Report that said that Cyril Gane will one day be a future heavyweight champion. And you know what? We were right, man. And
that's
if you
right.
don't believe me, you can kiss my ass. You can kiss my ass because you know all you – well, you know what? All those other journalists out there that were, like, didn't even know anything about Cyril Gane. We knew about Cyril Gane. We saw him live, and we knew that this guy had everything. Not only as a great fighter, but a great, great person. I'm happy that he won. He's a great ambassador for MMA, and you know what? Cool guy. Not only was he so cool that when he got the belt, the first thing he did is he gave it to his coach, and he gave it to his trainers. Man, that's an amazing guy, man. That guy is, like, awesome.
Cyril
and who's
going
to beat him? Cyril Gane. What's that?
What do you say, Fred?
Kiss my ass. I was going to say kiss my grits, but they would have understood
him.
That.
Yeah, that's right. The knight. King. The king. The new king. Cyril Gane.
The Roi de France.
There he is. There's
Look at that
Cyril.
Guy. Who are those two handsome guys in front?
There's Dave with Cyril and AJ. That's right. That's us with the heavyweight champion of the world right there. We told you he was going to be the heavyweight champion of the world, and now he is the heavyweight champion of the world.
Look, he's the evolution of the sport. Physically, he's a monster. He's in shape. He has skills. He's still young. So, yeah, he has a bright future. I want to see him fight Ngannou. Yeah, I'm probably picking Ngannou, but that's still, like, the fight I want to see.
Oh, yeah, that's the fight.
You know,
that's a big fight.
Man. Ngannou cannot be taken lightly.
Yeah, and Gano is super dangerous.
Absolutely not.
But I think that Ciryl Gane has the style to beat him. And, of course, AJ, like we've heard, when they used to trade together, Ciryl used to whoop that ass, baby. And Ciryl's going to do it again. That's why we've been telling you for years, since before Ciryl was in the UFC, this guy's the real deal and going to be UFC champion as soon as he gets that shot in the octagon. And there he is on Saturday night. We got to pat ourselves on the back once in a while, Freddie. We have been calling this shit for years, and now he is the champion. So this is, you know, it's pretty good.
Well, listen, we've been saying a lot of shit that, like, you know what I don't understand is we need a lot more followers because the rest of those guys get credit off of our shit. And I know that they've been talking about our stuff after we said it. I'm not going to mention any names. I won't say it.
Don't say names. I don't know who you're talking about.
Come on, let me say it.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Them, but they might sue us. But the thing is this. They can sue whatever they want because we've got footage. We've got timestamps. We've got video to prove it, man. And that's the thing. It's that when we talk about a future champion, you know, we see it, man, and we called it. But we've seen everything from Ronda Rousey's, like, loss, her first loss, where people couldn't believe it. But we called it, man. We've done so many things on this show. But you know what? There's other journalists out there that just get the credit for the bullshit that they spew, where we said the real shit, man.
I mean, I was talking about...
I'm happy for Ciryl Gane.
I don't know how many people were talking about Gable Steveson before the fact. I see everybody talking about this gold medal winner now. I tell you guys about this guy a couple of weeks ago on the show. AJ and Fred don't know who he's talking about. Now, everywhere you look, it's Gable Steveson this, Gable Steveson that, right? I mean, we see these things miles ahead. How long ago was I telling you about Magomed Ankalaev and Yuri Prochazka? Oof. These two guys are the future of light heavyweight. I know that Jan Blachowicz and Glover Teixeira are going to fight each other for the light heavyweight championship in October. You know who the backup fighter for that is? Yuri Prochazka. If one of those guys gets hurt, Yuri steps in to fight for the belt. And Magomed Ankalaev has a fight coming up on that England card coming up there, Fred. One of those cards you were complaining about over the next few weeks. The card in September is good. The cards in August, I will give to you, are not that strong. We talked about the Gastelum card on the 21st. Edson Barboza versus Giga Chikadze is a pretty cool fight, though. I am hyped for that on the 28th as a main event. The rest of the card, Sarah McMahon versus Ketlin Vieira. Oh, is this the Ultimate Fighter finale? Oh, Brian Battle on the finale here. Okay, well, that's good. That's the Ultimate Fighter finale, so that'll be good. But then September 4th, which is in like 3 weeks' time, that's a good card. It was supposed to be in England, but you can't do fights in England now because of Delta something, I think. I don't know. So they're back at the Apex in Vegas. And Charles Jourdain will be fighting on that card against Lerone Murphy, okay? Not only will Charles Jourdain be fighting, but Marc-Andre Barrio also fighting on that card against Dalcha Lunjiambula, okay? And also, my man Magomed Ankalaev is fighting Volkan motherfucking Ozdemir, okay? That's a serious fight. And Derek Brunson versus Darren Till is the main event. Alexander Gustafsson versus Jiu-Jitsu ace Paul Craig. Are you kidding me? What? That's a sick fight. This card is like pay-per-view quality, and it's taking place on the 4th of September for free.
We should do a watch-along for that, man.
We might. That's going to be a big card. We'll talk to Fred. We'll see what Fred says. AJ, you got it.
September, Fred. You have lots of time.
I don't think it's afternoon. I think it'll be at night. Probably. I don't know.
Yeah. Saturday fight, September 4th.
Oh, no, it's not in England.
No, it was going to be.
But... Oh, it's Labor Day weekend, man. Isn't it Labor Day weekend?
Probably. I don't know. All right, guys. So we've got PFL tomorrow night, Rory McDonald versus Ray Cooper III in the welterweight semifinal of the tournament. That one's the main event.
I thought his loss to Tebow made that he was out, like, of the tournament. No,
because he was already into the next round. It was just a thing for points. I don't, like, it was really, you know, PFL has weird stuff. Because Rory won his first fight by submission in the first round. He got, like, a certain number of points. So he'd already qualified for the semifinals of the tournament. the fight with Tebow was just for Tebow to get points or something, that Rory lost by split decision, which was absolute bullshit, fucking ridiculous judges. So bad that Rory said he never wants to fight in New Jersey again after that debacle, which makes a lot of sense. That was really bad. He got fucked. So Rory is fighting Ray Cooper the third here. This one, where is this one? It's in Florida, so it could be a little better judging-wise, hopefully. Although, you never know. Ray Cooper the third, 28 years old, 22-7. He's got four fights in a row that he's won now in the PFL. He won the 2019 welterweight tournament. I mean, this guy's legit. This is a legit challenge for Rory McDonald here. And I'll give you the odds in a second. I'm going to be watching this. I think it's on TSN here in Canada, but I don't really know. Find it. Just find it. Check your local listings, okay? Google. People used to say that. I don't know if they still say that.
He's young, man. He's 28 years old. A young fighter. I've seen him fight. He's awesome, this guy.
I'm not seeing odds on this, which worries me. Did this fight get canceled or something?
I hope not.
I do not see betting odds for this anywhere. This is weird. Please tell
me. Did you go to Bet99?
Yeah. I went to Bet99. I went to Best Fight Odds. I'm not seeing. Hold on. Let me go here. Let me go somewhere else and try to find odds. Olivier Aubé-Mercier is also fighting in the prelims against Daryl Horcher. I'm looking forward to seeing Olivier. I see Olivier's fight odds. He's a massive favorite. Usually like to make money betting on Olivier because he was the underdog in his last fight and he won. And I was like, yeah, obviously he's going to win this fight. Now he's fighting Daryl Horcher. Minus 650, the favorite is Olivier. That's a bit much. I mean,
I don't see anything here, Dave.
Definitely going to win. You don't see what? Rory McDonald betting odds?
Yeah, I don't see it.
There's
I don't
two
see
different
anything, yeah.
odds for Gleison Tebow, which is weird. They got like Gleison Tebow against Curtis Millender and they got Gleison Tebow against Mika Terrell. Who's Gleison Tebow fighting?
I have no idea.
I'll tell you in a second. He is fighting.
PFL. Who knows what PFL's doing? According to my card, Gleison Tebow is fighting Mika Terrell.
Terrell. Yeah.
Yeah. Here, I've got odds for Rory McDonald, Ray Cooper. Rory, minus 120. Cooper, minus 105, according to bet99.com. Go to bet99.com. Bet with us. Use the promo code RINGSIDE when you sign up. And you get a matching bonus for your initial deposit of up to $600. Go to bet99.com. Use that promo code RINGSIDE. Help us out. Help yourself out over at bet99.com. Rory McDonald, minus 120. Ray Cooper, minus 105. That seems about right. I think we're all going to go with Rory McDonald in this fight, right? It's a tough one, though.
It's going to be a tough one, but it's a tough one. I mean, I love Rory. Rory's one of my favorite fighters. I would love to see him back in the UFC and dominate. But it's going to be a tough fight, man. This is – it's a tough one.
Cooper's tough, man. He's a tough, he's a tough Hawaiian. He can bang with you. He can trade. You know what I mean? This guy's got heavy hands. He's very dangerous. He's got good wrestling. He's a very good all-around fighter. He's very dangerous, and he's 28 years old, you know, so he's a little younger than Rory, which it's crazy. We're starting to see Rory fight guys 4 years younger than him, but here we are. Rory's 32. Cooper's 28. Like, he's fresh. He's mean. He's resilient. He's a tough fight for anybody right now.
Look at their stats. Their stats are like 22-7-1 each. I mean, these guys are so equal. The only difference is that if you look at the arm reach of Rory McDonald, that's got these long orangutan arms, 76-inch reach to a 70-inch reach for Ray Cooper. And that's going to be the difference. So if Rory keeps like the pace and stays on the outside, he's going to be able to beat this guy by decision. Even with leg reach, he's got a 2-inch reach on Ray Cooper. Ray Cooper is at 40 inches and Rory McDonald is at 42. I mean, they're so similar, 22-7-1, both. I mean, height-wise, Ray Cooper is 5'7", Rory McDonald like 6 feet. I mean, but if you look at Rory McDonald's career and the people that he's battled through, I mean, I look, my heart's with Rory, and I think if I have to look at it, if there's anything that's going to be the difference is going to be that reach of that 6-inch reach.
Yeah,
that's going to
make
the difference.
And Rory's got a
so
great
I'm going with
jab
Rory
too.
On the, man, it's ridiculous. And that's the thing. And his kicking as well. And his like his jiu-jitsu game is phenomenal. But this Ray Cooper is a dangerous guy. I've seen him fight, and he's impressed me. But
yeah,
when you're going up against a Rory McDonald, as long as Rory McDonald's healthy, as long as Rory McDonald's, like, his mind is in that fight, he's impossible to beat, man. I've seen this guy fight live. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I've seen him fight a number of times. I feel like every time I see him fight, he loses, though. Like, all the fights that I've been to. Like, the two Rory McDonald fights that I know that I went to that I can recall was the Wonderboy Thompson fight that he lost. And
yeah, I remember
the Nate Diaz
I was
fight.
There too.
The Nate Diaz fight. Oh, no, he beat Nate Diaz. What am I talking about? He destroyed Nate Diaz. Yeah, yeah, he won that one.
But you know what? The Wonderboy,
Nate Diaz
with
looked
the Wonderboy
terrible
fight,
in that fight.
If I remember correctly, that was in Ottawa, right?
Yeah, it was a close
one. And that fight... it was close, but the only thing that Rory kept doing was he tried to keep rolling into some kind of like a leg lock, and he kept getting caught by Thompson.
Yeah,
it just like his strategy was off. He wanted to grapple more with Thompson than actually do what he did best, because I think he was worried about like going to the kickboxing game with Wonderboy, and he started really trying to pressure him by taking him to the ground, and that's what made him lose that fight. I just think it was a bad like. Coaching decision in the end, in my opinion, but hey.
All right. You know, well, that's old
other
fights.
Than that,
we're not going to rehash those old fights and the well, strategies for that. Freddie?
I got McDonald, and look, I'll be the first to admit, man, I don't have a clue who Ray Cooper is, okay? But I look at his record, man, and the guy lost 2 years ago to fucking John Doomsday Howard, man. You're not going to tell me a guy that got knocked out by John Howard is going to come in and beat Rory McDonald, man.
When you're 26, come though, on, there's man. A big evolution between a 26-year-old and a 28-year-old fighter, man. You could lose fights and come back and be way better
John
down the road.
Doomsday Howard.
All right, I'm with you. I think Rory probably wins this fight, but, you know, if he keeps it clean, keeps it at a distance, uses his jab, I think he wins. If he gets on top, if he gets a top position, gets a mount or something, I think he wins, maybe even finishes. I think he could get a finish. If this fight goes to the ground and Rory gets a good top position, I think he could finish
That's
with some ground
odds,
and pound.
You say?
He's got some nasty ground and pound. He's a slight favorite. Very slight
Bet
favorite, Fred. It's well, I don't know about that, because if this fight gets messy, you're betting on Rory. You don't know who Ray Cooper III is. I'm telling you, he's dangerous, Fred. You're not a PFL fan. I get it. But this guy Cooper is dangerous, and if this fight gets messy, I could see Cooper, you know, putting it on Rory. Rory getting himself into some trouble, and getting knocked out. Like, it's very possible. Cooper -105, slight underdog. McDonald -120, the favorite.
Look, man, losing to John Howard is like losing to Gleison Tebow, which Rory did. So who knows what's gonna happen?
He didn't though. But I see, got, obviously, you're not a PFL fan. You didn't watch that fight, Fred. He did not lose to Gleison Tebow. It did not happen. The judges gave it to Gleason for some fucked up reason. And also tomorrow night, Bellator 264, Gegard Mousasi takes on John Salter. Gegard is a massive favorite going into this fight, as he should be in every single fight that he has. -410 is Gegard. +300 is John Salter. This fight might even be for a belt. Isn't Gegard a champion? You guys don't know about Bellator. Yeah, Gegard is the Bellator middleweight champion. And he's going to defend here. Yeah, it's a middleweight title fight. Gegard is a middleweight champion again. Main event against John Salter. I got Gegard all day. Gegard by knockout. Andre Koreshkov versus Saba Homasi is the co-main event tomorrow night. Bellator 264 once again at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. That's been their COVID home base.
Gegard. Good fights for tomorrow, man.
Yeah, man. A lot of good stuff. Like, it's not just UFC. You know, a lot of people think MMA and they think UFC, but if you're a real fight fan, you know what's going on, and hopefully we got you ready for some of that stuff that you maybe were not aware of. I know AJ wasn't aware of it until we started the show, so that's good that I informed you, AJ, because I know you're a big fight fan, and now you're excited because you got Bellator 264 and PFL 7 to watch tomorrow night. Bellator has been free on their YouTube channel. They don't have a Canadian TV deal, so all their fights are just free on YouTube for Canadians, which is fantastic. So you could watch Bellator on YouTube for free. And I think PFL will be on TSN possibly tomorrow night, so you could watch it there. And also tomorrow night, SmackDown's on. Also tomorrow night, AEW Rampage debuts, the first ever episode of AEW Rampage. Christian Cage, Christian from Edge and Christian, will wrestle Kenny Omega for the Impact Wrestling World title on AEW TV. Britt Baker versus Red Velvet. Fred, are you a Britt Baker fan? Do you know who Britt Baker is?
Who's her boyfriend again?
Adam Cole.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know who she is. But
she's good. She's the AEW Women's Champion. She's fantastic. And I'll be back here tomorrow night. You could watch me tomorrow night with Johnny North right after SmackDown, talking professional wrestling, talking about what happened on SmackDown. And also, you know, I'll probably talk some PFL and some Bellator because I'll be watching that at the same time. And also AEW Rampage. Like, tomorrow night's going to be on fire. There's a lot going on tomorrow night.
Friday show?
And Dave, go,
what's that, Fred?
They got a new Friday show, AEW?
Yeah, Rampage. It's 10 o'clock Friday nights, right after SmackDown.
Every Friday?
Yeah, every Friday for 1 hour.
Good for them. Is it live?
Dave, getting back to the Bellator.
It's live. And tomorrow is their debut show in Pittsburgh. Next week, they're in Chicago. And it seems like it would be the date and time for CM Punk to debut in AEW. So if you want to tune into AEW next Friday night in Chicago, might be a good idea because you probably see CM Punk.
Can he be known as CM Punk over there, or is he going to have to change his name?
I mean, he was known as CM Punk WWE, in Ring of Honor, in Impact Wrestling, in UFC.
Yeah, you can't change his name.
No, he owns it.
I mean, I don't know if he owns the likeness of CM Punk, you know, Chick Magnet.
He used it in UFC, right? So
exactly. Yeah, you can't change the guy's name after he's done all that. It's impossible, man.
Yeah, he owns it, thankfully for him. Because when you use it before
WWE...
What
about Daniel Bryan? He's not going to be known as Daniel Bryan.
No, but he was known as Bryan Danielson for so many years. People know him as the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. Yeah, he was the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. He was the man. Like, before he was Daniel Bryan, he was Bryan Danielson. And I think a lot of people will be happy to just go back to calling him Bryan Danielson. Hopefully he debuts soon, too, because I'm more excited for him than CM Punk, quite frankly.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm happy for CM Punk, man.
Punk is cool, but honestly, if they were to fight, I think Bryan Danielson would probably win.
In a real fight or WWE or whatever?
No, in a real fight. Even though CM Punk went to UFC, like if you watch Bryan Danielson, and I know he's a blue belt, he might be a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, he's something. He's definitely, you know, he trains jiu-jitsu and has been for years. And when you see him wrestle in the ring, like he's got real like grappling skills. You can tell he knows what he's doing on the mats. Punk never had that kind of aspect to his career.
Well, he got it later, right? He's still doing jiu-jitsu and whatnot, but
That's it. He got into it later. I think Bryan Danielson is a little bit of a better grappler, at least. Anderson Silva versus Tito Ortiz. I mean, I'm happy that CM Punk is going back to AEW because it could be worse. He could be boxing Tito Ortiz for Triller. You know what I mean? You never know what it could have been for CM Punk. So thankfully, it's just one of the greatest fighters of all time boxing Tito Ortiz for Triller. On the undercard of the Oscar De La Hoya
fighter, man.
Oscar De La Hoya. Well, yeah, I guess. I don't want to disrespect Tito too much.
UFC
but
Hall of Famer.
He's a bit Tito goofy Ortiz now, though, and I think Anderson's going to beat the shit out of him. I can't believe that's actually happening. MMA Fighting is reporting it. I might have to watch this next Triller pay-per-view. I know I swore off Triller forever, but it's not like a Jake Paul thing. The Jake Paul people seem to be going on Showtime. The Tyron Woodley-Jake Paul fight is on the 29th of this month. It's on a Sunday night, the 29th of August. It's soon, and it's on Showtime. It is not Triller. Triller is going to do an Oscar De La Hoya versus Vitor Belfort boxing match, where I think Vitor might kill De La Hoya once and for all. And Anderson Silva apparently is going to box Tito Ortiz on the undercard, which, I mean, yeah, I'm in.
You know listen, Vitor's going to take that fight seriously.
I know.
Like, I don't know if people told like Oscar, like Vitor doesn't like exhibition, man.
And do you think they're testing? Do you think they're drug testing? Because TRT Vitor beats Stipe, Francis. I don't give a shit who you are. TRT Vitor beats everybody except peak John Jones. You know, the only guy that could stop TRT Vitor was John Jones. And even then, he got his arm broken in the process. You know what I mean? Like when he was peak TRT Vitor. Yeah, John Jones was on cocaine and a mix of who knows what, right? But
big pills.
Picograms.
Yeah, all the picograms he could handle. Nevertheless, TRT Vitor is going to be a goddamn problem for De La Hoya. I hope he shows up just jacked out of his mind, ready to kill Oscar De La Hoya. It's going to be
great. If he's reciting anything from the Bible while he's getting into that ring, if I was Oscar De La Hoya, I might like faint or fall or something. Just like slip and like slip on that banana peel and the fight is over. Because you're right. There's one thing with Vitor, man. I seen this guy like up close and personal once. I gave him a look and he batted me a look. And I'm like, man, this guy is jacked. And I'm like, who is this guy? And then I realized it was Belfort. I'm like, hey, Vito. He's like, oi.
Vito.
I'm like, holy shit. I got him Vito. But anyways, he was jacked to the gills, man. And this was, I'm not sure if this was maybe his beginning of the TRT shit and whatever, but he was training here in Montreal and whatnot. I'm telling you, man, this guy is intense. One of my favorite fighters of all time. But like Freddie says, man, if Oscar is taking this as like an exhibition, Hollywood-style Jake Paul, Logan Paul kind of, telling you, Vitor might actually kill this guy.
Yeah, De La Hoya's not taking this seriously. De La Hoya, there's no way he's going to show up in shape.
He better be doing a lot of lines, man.
Do you remember that last Triller broadcast, how fucked up he sounded on commentary? He sounded so fucked up, man.
He disappeared. He was so fucked up, he disappeared from commenting.
Oh, Vitor's going to kill him.
He was gone.
Maybe smash Vitor.
Scary, man. Have to buy any cocaine.
Yeah, that's right.
I hope he's...
There'll be a surplus of cocaine wherever Oscar De La Hoya lives. There'll be like so much. You'll be like, why? Cocaine dealers will be going broke.
Listen, I'm going to watch this fight, and hopefully we can watch it and like comment on it because it's going to be awesome. But going back to Anderson Silva against Tito Ortiz, I mean, Anderson Silva, man, was like boxing before MMA. Like this guy is proficient in boxing. He's done amateur fights. He's like, I'm not sure if he went professional in Brazil in boxing. But as we all seen, like Anderson Silva in his UFC career, man, this guy can box.
Not only that's the difference. He just beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. in Mexico by decision. He beat the brakes off that man recently.
Man, and he fought
and
so
Tito
well.
And Tito Ortiz was always a guy who would take you down, use his wrestling, and ground and pound. That's how he won his fights. He never won fights standing up, except for that guillotine he wrapped on Ryan Bader. He never won a stand-up fight. It was never a boxing match for Tito Ortiz. Anderson is going to kill that man, and that'll be fun to watch, too. Like, if Triller gives me Anderson Silva knocking Tito Ortiz unconscious and Vitor Belfort, like, decapitating Oscar De La Hoya, I might be satisfied with Triller. I might be happy with that, you know?
But what if
even if Justin Bieber comes out dancing
happens?
And all that?
I'll be super pissed.
What if Tito, by miracle, knocks out Anderson?
I mean, it's
impossible. Well, he beat El Patron.
Impossible.
Let's think about it.
I was going to say it's possible. It's impossible. There's no fucking way Tito Ortiz is knocking out Anderson Silva. Like, maybe De La Hoya has a shot against Vitor, but even then, I don't think he does. And I don't think I know that Tito Ortiz has no chance against Anderson. Anderson might take it easy on him and not knock him unconscious, but he's going to beat the shit out of him easily.
Listen, it's boxing. It's not MMA, and that's the thing with Tito, man. Tito, like, he can throw these heavy power punches and whatnot, but this is 2021. He submitted El Patron in 2019. I mean, it's a different Tito. Tito's been in politics. He just got kicked out of politics as a city councilor or whatever he was doing in California. I mean, the guy's on a bad run lately.
Did he get kicked out?
You know what? He got kicked out. And the thing is that what's happening is that he's coming here for the money. That's all he cares about. Win or lose for Tito, he's going to walk away with some pretty good bucks.
Yeah.
And we'll see Tito doing something else in a couple of, maybe in a year from now, maybe getting into the WWE again, like something crazy.
No
chance. But that's Tito Ortiz, and that's why I love him, man. He
I
does
just
like
hope
crazy stuff.
We don't get the Talish Leites, Damian Maya, Anderson Silva. You know, the guy who just kind of stands around and doesn't do shit, just kind of toys with Tito. I want, like, aggressive Stefan Bonner, Forrest Griffin, Anderson Silva, where he just fucks you up, you know? I want Chael 2, not Chael 1, Anderson. Chael 2. If Anderson shows up with a goatee, we're fucked. Clean-shaven Anderson, no goatee. Goatee Anderson gets fucking destroyed. Clean-shaven Anderson is who we need here. And then at the end of the night, I want Anderson Silva and Vitor Belfort to meet in the ring and Anderson to kick him in the face again. And then we say, good night, everybody. Fucking fantastic.
And I don't want to hear any Steven Seagal saying that he gave Anderson Silva the boxing skills to beat Tito Ortiz.
Yeah.
Because you know Anderson, you know Seagal. Seagal is going to be there. You know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
My master.
All right, guys. Well, everything has gone well. Angelo Contagonis is our Super Chat leader. Brittany is free. Brittany's father has agreed to step down from her conservatorship. So all this free Brittany stuff has worked. Brittany Spears is free.
Free.
She's been free. Wow. Brittany is now unleashed upon the world. Get ready for
free
Brittany.
Me, bitch. Brittany, well, you know bitch. What? So what does that mean exactly, Larry?
All right, Fred.
Oh, yeah. She's in Montreal, eh? So listen.
Quebec.
That's not a...
Quebec.
I don't know, Freddie. Don't show your address. That's
who's
sure.
in Montreal?
Hillary Clinton. Hillary.
Why?
Why? Why would you
I
say
don't know.
That?
She's going to a sugar shack or something.
It's not the season
she's
for
going
that.
To a sugar shack or something.
It's too
first
hot
of all,
for
is
that.
She allowed to travel into Montreal?
Americans that are double vaxxed are allowed to come through the border.
She was probably at the Obama party, and who knows? Nobody was wearing masks. Who's to say that anybody got vaxxed over there? I don't
she's
know, man.
Probably
I
been double vaxxed for a while. She's a Democrat and she's older, so I would assume that she's been double vaxxed for a long time.
I hope so.
Yeah, I don't think they'd let her. I mean, they would let her across the border even if she wasn't because she's Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
But she probably
get into the country,
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they'd let her in no matter what, but I would assume that she is vaccinated. And I think she's probably doing PSAs about it that I'm not watching.
Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but there
you're
was
wrong.
One point when nobody could come into no one could come into Canada because it was completely locked up, and then you got into a beef with like some WWE wrestler about that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Kind
did you get
of
into a beef with someone,
but like yeah, but oh, that's old news. We're not rehashing that. It's over.
Come on, who was it again?
I'm done with it.
It's been killing me.
Well, I'll go back and watch.
Really?
I'll tell you later.
No suspect deaths happening in Quebec.
No what? Oh, okay. I see. I see what you're saying. I see. A lot of mysterious things happening. All right, guys. Yeah. I'll be back here tomorrow night for Wrestling Uncensored, 10 p.m. Eastern Time with Johnny North. We're going to recap SmackDown and watch AEW Rampage live here with you. Yes, AJ, one final word to AJ.
No, I was going to say, since I'm double vaxxed and I've hit my 14-day as of, well, it'll be Saturday. I'll be 14 days.
Oh,
I'm going to put in a plea to get into studio soon. So...
Maybe.
Talk to Allison.
Maybe.
And you're making it known publicly to put pressure on Dave.
Yeah, man.
You're
I'm like,
for the
I'm at day 12.
To have their voice heard, huh? That's it.
Thank
well,
you, Freddie. Thank
I'll
you.
Tell you what, AJ. I will tell you what. Okay? We just had UFC 265. Okay? UFC 266, the next UFC pay-per-view, is on September 25th. Volkanovski versus Ortega is Volkanovski versus Ortega is the main event. Shevchenko versus Murphy is the co-main event, and we've got Nick Diaz versus Robbie Lawler on that card too. Okay, September 25th. It's far enough away where I feel like I can say probably you'll be allowed in studio for that show. For the watch along,
he's taking it easy because he knows the government is going to put some lockdowns, which is going to change everything about that. So I predict right away that there's going to be more government lockdowns, and Dave's going to use that as an excuse to tell you, AJ, man, you can't go.
What?
You're just not welcome.
Are you serious?
And I just don't want to come because you're too far, and taxes are ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be I don't think there's going to be another lockdown. I think AJ will be allowed to travel on September 25th to come over here. I think it'll be all fine.
Listen, I'm going to get my passport. I'm going to get that damn passport. I swear to God, I'll even get a tattoo of the passport on my ass if I have to.
Black market.
I got double vaxxed. I got double vaxxed, and I swear, man, if I hear any, like, something weird in the years to come to say, I'd like to inform all the people that got double vaxxed that, unfortunately, you know, you're going to be growing a third nipple.
How about this? I'm going to inform all the people that double vaxxed, you're now immortal. I'm like, oh, cool. Immortal. Take it.
Okay,
Fred,
cool.
Did you buy yourself a black market passport yet?
I was thinking of Fred. I was like, please don't let it be Fred Garcia on the news. Please don't let it be Fred Garcia.
I don't know what you're going to do.
Only
man.
In Quebec.
What are you
going
to do? There's going to be so many places you can't go.
What? I can't go to the movies no more?
I don't
I'll
think
fucking
so.
Steal it on the internet.
Yeah.
I can't go to what? A comedy show? I'll fucking steal it on the internet. I can't go to a music
Park
show.
Safari?
I'll fucking
what about
steal
Park
it
Safari?
On the internet. You'll fuck
you steal animals, man?
Can you go to Park Safari?
No, I don't know, man.
I mean,
can
I,
you
I've
go to a drive-in
like,
theater?
How many times do you go? I've been to Granby Zoo this year, man. How many times do I need to go to the zoo every year? Like,
yeah, but
like,
what
man,
about little
COVID
Alfred?
Taking another 18. Look,
Alfred hasn't gone.
18-day break of COVID because this passport is not before like the 1st of September. So you know, COVID's cool, man. COVID's giving me 18 days, man. Cool virus, love it. Definitely not scared of it.
All right. Well, that's Fred's final word. I think we'll leave it at that for Fred without going any deeper.
Oh, wait. Let me get my fortune cookie.
Why?
This was my fortune cookie for the show today. Let's see what it says.
I'm nervous.
So our fortune, wow, for the Ringside Report, wow, friendship will blossom into love.
Okay. Well,
I always
think...
said we should start like I always wanted to start like the misfortune cookies, you know, with like bad things, in there. And you give them to people like, hey, here's your fortune cookie, but it says something bad.
Congratulations, you will be receiving like herpes in the next 2 days.
That's very specific, AJ. I wonder where that came from. All right. We'll talk to you guys again soon. I'll be back here tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time for Wrestling Uncensored. For Freddie and AJ, I'm Dave. Thank you to Angelo Contagonis. You are the Super Chat leader once again. Thank you to Patrick C. Hamilton for dropping a Super Chat and supporting the channel as always. Thank you to everybody tuning in. We'll see you again real soon. See you.